and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Yeah.
Brought to you by the WBO, the World Boxing Organization.
How about that?
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
Let's get him. Let's get him hard.
Pedro Fernandez.
Better grab me quick before my knees give way.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, 35 make that 36. But no, it's going to be 37 years, Cuddy, like in 2 weeks. 2 weeks, 37 years of radio. Good Lord, who would think? Bottom line is, we're still kicking ass, knocking out all bums 37 years later. All right, not quite 37, but 36 years and 51 weeks. Bottom line is, we're knocking out all bums live coast to coast every Saturday and Sunday, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 211, and a plethora of other internet platforms. And of course, the podcasts always end up at anchor.com. You can check out the Ring Talk Live Worldwide channel at anchor.com. We're also going live on twitch.tv, and you see me twitching around in the chairs because I am a bit nervous today. Don't ask me why. I've been doing this for so long. I can do it in my sleep, people think, but I can't. And I'm a bit nervous today. I have no idea, but I'm just feeling a bit antsy. Of course, we'll hear from the boxing's true PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer, in just a few minutes. And, of course, we'll be going down a litany of boxing headlines. Of course, there's Boxing Tonight at ESPN, and, Sean Porter's back. And got to say, Sean Porter looked like he was in fantastic condition. I've always questioned his conditioning in the past. I always thought that maybe he put 8.5, 8.9, but never a 9 or a 10. But it looks like he went the extra mile and got himself in real good shape for tonight's fight. So we wish him the very best of luck. And we want these fights to be good. In other words, what you're going to put on TV, hopefully, is entertaining. As far as competitive is concerned, can we beg for both? Hopefully we can. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. Open phone lines around the coast, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Or the guilt-free, no-commitment text line, 415-275-1613. The text line, once again, 415-275-1613. We are live on Twitch.tv, the Sports USA channel.
Comes the decision now. Let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right. The World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
If he gets through this dragnet, he's as slippery as a nail in a barrel full of oil.
Check it. 12 minutes past the hour. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. At one point in time in the late 1980s, a real estate developer by the name of Carl DeMay came to me and said, I want to start a boxing club. Really? I said, yeah, that'd be a great idea. He goes, I'm thinking about putting Marty Denken in charge. I said, well, Marty, of course, is a deceased Hall of Fame referee. He definitely knows his business, no doubt about that. So he puts together this boxing club in L.A. called the DeMay Boxing Club. Okay? So having heard about this kid, I'm talking about a kid back then. He was like 17 years old. His name was Oscar De La Hoya. And then watching him on a couple of amateur fights via VHS tape. That's right, VHS tape, for those of you that know what that means. Denken tells me Oscar De La Hoya will be part of the DeMay Boxing Club. Whoa. DeMay's intent was to sponsor Oscar as an amateur and then manage him as a pro. Well, that didn't work out so well. But as I watched this kid, he was a kid that didn't even shave yet. Still a kid, yeah. Actually manhandled professional fighters. I don't want to embarrass because they listen to this show and they follow me on Facebook. So the bottom line is he manhandled a lot of guys at 17 years old. I mean, what can I say? He was just kicking a lot of ass in the gym. He looked like Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, and Alexis Arguello all combined to one. I was looking at the greatest fighter I thought of all time, seriously, as an amateur, beating up these guys in the gym. So anyway, I would call Oscar every couple of weeks to do some radio. And his mother would answer the phone, and she was a nice lady. And I would ask her, is Oscar there? And she would say, Oscar, telefono. And this lasted about a year and a half before Oscar bolted Demay and went on to win the gold medal, of course, in 1992. And as a professional, I mean, people look to knock him. It's pretty hard to knock him. I mean, rolling through the lighter weights. I mean, he was beating up guys that were so much smaller than him was unbelievable. Rolling through the lighter weights at 130, 135 pounds, and 140 pounds. He really didn't get a challenge to 147 pounds in Sugar Shane Mosley. And of course, he would lose that fight. But he would come back at 154 pounds and do incredibly well before losing again. Guess who? Guess who? The guy in Flintstone Vitamins, Shane Mosley. So Oscar's run at 160 pounds, while it was profitable for me, I think De La Hoya was favored over Bernard Hopkins, but I threw down $1,000 and got back like $3,500, I think. Never one to bet on fights. This was a sure thing, betting against Oscar versus Bernard Hopkins, because Oscar had cut his hand in training that week, and they had put 5 stitches between a thumb. I think it was his right hand or left hand, but they put 5 stitches between his thumb and his first finger, because they had cut that, taken off some hand wraps 2 days before the fight. So the bottom line is, he was damaged goods, plus he was a smaller guy. But from that point forward, from the Hopkins point forward, Hopkins fight forward, the beating he took at the hands of Manny Pacquiao, I guess it wasn't severe enough, because now, the Golden Man, no longer a golden boy, the Golden Man is back. And sprinkled in between all those years of glory in the ring were years of cocaine abuse and cheating on his wife. We don't need to bring up butt plugs or Milana Dravenau. Remember her? I talked to her back in like 2007. Actually, I talked to her girlfriend, and she was in the same room. That's the way we did it. I did it through a third party. She was in the same room. It was pretty funny because we were exposing Oscar, of course, for wearing Victoria's Secret's outfits. In other words, dressing up like a drag queen, dressing like a woman, shaving his legs, all that kind of good stuff, and wearing panties. And, of course, he sued her, Milana Dravenau, and she sued him back, and he ended up settling with her for $20 million. So I guess she was right about the butt plugs. And every time that Oscar would come to town or Oscar would call her on the phone, he would tell her to go get a kit. And a kit in the world of players, as far as I was concerned, when a girl told me, you know, it'd be nice if he got me a kit. Well, she never really said the kit, but I know what she meant. She meant like the Victoria's Secret's top and the bottom and all that kind of good stuff. So that was a kit, okay? So sprinkled in between all those years was his wearing, you know, Victoria's Secret's outfits and getting caught in 2007. Of course, a $20 million settlement, you know. Anyway, you know, comebacks like this, they just don't end well. They don't. And unless he wants to come back and wear panties again, it's probably not going to be successful, because panties differ from boxing trunks, okay? And at the end of the day, Oscar was a fine fighter. There was no doubt about it. And I don't mean to knock him outside of the ring. I mean the butt plugs and posing with chicks for all these different kind of weird photos in drag positions. That's his thing. And of course, that would have been private, but it became public. So once it became public, it's public. In other words, he was against that. He said to me one time, he says, I can't believe you wrote the stuff you wrote. I said, bro. I said, it's in the public world. What am I supposed to do? Somebody sends me these photos before I had them before TMZ had them. And then I sent them to Emmanuel Stewart. And Emmanuel Stewart looked at them and he looked at them and he looked at them. I sent them to him via Federal Express. And he looked at him and looked at him and looked at him. And I was on the phone with him and he was looking at him. He goes, I've been looking at these for about 10, 15 minutes. And I said, yeah, well, what do you mean? He goes, well, this is Oscar. I said, well, you sure? He says, oh, there's no doubt about it. So with that, I went and ran the pictures at ringtalk.com, which was a former website that I ran. At the end of the day, Oscar got upset. But, you know, as I said, he paid $20 million in the end to Milana Dravenau because she said that he was wearing the panties and she was buying him butt plugs and all that kind of good stuff. So I guess at the end of the day, money talks. But this comeback, whether it's against a formidable foe or a not-so-formidable foe, he's still an old man, and old men don't take lickings too well. This will not end well for Oscar De La Hoya, maybe except financially. And why does he need the money? He made more money than just about anybody in the business. But you have greed, folks. He's a greedy old dude, and I guess butt plugs have gotten old. Bottom line, it's time to shift gears. Now we go from Oscar De La Hoya, the golden boy, or the one-time golden boy, to our boxing PhD, Miss Socrates Palmer. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing well, Pedro, and I never thought that butt plugs and then the segue into me was was ever going to happen in my lifetime, but it's a first for everything.
Well, I didn't think I would use that term again. I thought it was over with. I mean, but the bottom line is, if he's back again, so is the story of his
his charades outside of the ring. I mean, you know, those, it wasn't only in Philadelphia. I mean, there were cities all across the United States, supposedly, where this girl, Milana, met up with Oscar. And every time she met up with Oscar, she brought a kit. And that sort of, and you know, I don't know how you show your face in public again after that. I really don't. I mean, outside of, there ain't too many more things to, I don't know. Well, maybe he's bisexual. I don't know. The bottom line is, she was always told to bring those plugs. That's what she told her girlfriend to tell me. That she was always told to bring those plugs. So, you know, I don't know what to say. But at the end of the day, he's coming back. I guess he's going to come back as a welterweight or a junior welterweight or a 54. What weight does he say?
I haven't heard anything specific, but I can't imagine that he would be able to make 154 pounds again. I mean, he's 47 years old. The one thing that plays in his favor is that other than the Pacquiao fight, Oscar's never taken a beating, you know, so he's probably suffered more abuse outside of the ring, with his, you know, past drug use than inside the ring. And, you know, but the body, for him to make 154, that's going to be pushing it. I can't see him making that weight. I would probably say more realistically, probably middleweight, 160. And depending what are his goals, he says it's a legit comeback. It's not exhibitions. So I'm curious to find out what's the status on Canelo Alvarez's contract with Golden Boy. If maybe that's what we're, you know, dare to dream.
Are you trying to tell me that Oscar's going to come back and try to fight Canelo? Is that what you smell, Mr. PhD? I mean, because you don't get suspicious unless there's something that's a little bit merit to that. But is that what you smell?
I mean, I know that they're not as close as they once were. I don't know. I wouldn't put it past anything. I certainly don't think he can make 135 pounds and fight Ryan Garcia, who's the guy who he really has beef with these days. You know, he'd have to probably chop off an arm. But, you know, I don't know. Why does he want to come back? Ego. It's the only thing I could think of. I mean, like you said, he's got money. He's made money, and he has money.
And he's still making money.
Big difference. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and, you know, what else can I say? It's in style. He wants to one up, I guess, Tyson and Roy, you know, since they're doing their exhibition. I also saw Sergio Martinez. Sergio Martinez got in the ring yesterday and won. Maybe that's a fight that could come down the pipe because he does not want to come back as a sideshow or a celebrity boxer. He wants to make one more run. So let's see what happens.
Oscar De La Hoya's peak, I thought, was the Fernando Vargas fight in 2002. I was there. Vargas was bigger than him. I saw Vargas at the weigh-in. I said to myself, good God, this guy looks like a monster. And, of course, he was ripped up on steroids. We would find out later in the post-fight test. But the bottom line is Oscar almost got drilled, I think, in the first or second round. He was down really hard. And, like, oh, man, it wasn't looking good for him. And he came back and he weathered the storm. He beat a bigger guy who was on steroids. More power to him. But I think that day in 2002, September 14th, celebrating Mexican Independence Day that weekend, I thought that was Oscar's shining moment. No doubt about it. A TKO in 11 over the then 154-pound champion, Fernando Vargas. We'll come back with boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, after the break. Little tower of power there. Only so much oil on the ground. Gas is going up again. You're tuned to Ring Talk.
That's where it goes.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Can't you keep out of trouble?
These are my boys, East Bay Soul. I think they're the new Tower of Power. Why do I say that? Because Greg Adams, a founding member of Tower of Power, runs East Bay Soul, and I just think they seem to have more energy, and they're rocking and rolling. And I saw Tower of Power with Average White Band like less than a year ago, and They just didn't deliver. I don't know why, whether it was because of the fact that we're dealing with AWB or not, but the bottom line is the Tower has not really delivered the last couple of times I saw them. Hey, I tell it like it is. Bottom line is Tower Power still rocks. So, of course, they're available at towerpower.com, excuse me, and East Bay Soul is available at eastbaysoul.com. Now, on the line, of course, from the East Coast, wow, talking about the Bronx Bomber himself, Mr. Socrates Palmer. Have mercy on us, man. What's on your mind? Tell me. I mean, you've been percolating for a week now. What's up?
Well, glad to see that the boxing schedule is picked up. It's a good problem to have when you're having to channel surf. Thank goodness for DVR and you can watch everything stream now later, same day. Got a busy boxing schedule today. So I'm looking forward to that. Want to see Joe Smith and Alvarez. That's a real interesting crossroads fight. The loser pretty much punches his way into stepping stone status, and the winner could probably look forward to another light heavyweight title shot down the line. I think that's probably the best card on the night. See Sean Porter's returning.
He looks like a beast.
Katie Taylor. He always does. I mean, physically, very few people have better genetics than Sean Porter, and he's always been that way since the amateurs. I have no idea how he's able to make 147 pounds. The guy is just, he's a little tank. And he comes to fight, not the prettiest to watch, a guy that makes you, you gotta pack your lunch when you fight him. A guy that really, maybe not as talented as Tim Bradley. I kind of echo, similar. They just kind of outwill you at times. What's the other thing? On the ladies' side, Katie Taylor comes back after a controversial decision. She's going to rematch. She has a rematch scheduled today on DAZN on the undercard of Povetkin and White. Yeah. Two guys that have tested positive for PEDs. So that should be interesting. It's always interesting when two juicers go at it. Yeah. I wonder if when that's the case, if they should just allow it, because if they're both using it, it's a fair fight, no?
Cecilia Brakus lost her first fight, and the girl that beat her, Jessica McCaskill, I was like blown away by her effort. She threw 230 more punches. She just wasn't going to be, she reminded me of Zach Badia. I was going to fight Zach Badia one time and I realized this guy's throwing 180 punches. He was throwing like 150 punches around. I'm not kidding you. How do you stop a guy that throws 150 punches around and has got a great chin? You don't stop him, okay? You end up getting beat by him. But the bottom line is she sort of like steamrolled, just kept throwing punches at Brakus. So he kept throwing, and she won at the end. And I thought her attitude was good. And she's like an investment banker.
Yeah, yes, so smart lady. I was the hype up into the fight. The lead into this fight was Brakus has a chance to break Joe Lewis's record, and I understand a PR person's job is to give ink to your client. But I thought that was just disrespectful, number one. And number two, just insane to even compare the two records. No knock on women's boxing, but there's just two different things, two different sports. Brakus losing she's been a great champion over the years. Maybe father, the undefeated person in the room is Father Time. He's the undefeated champion of all time. And, it's possible that she became old overnight. Hopefully they do it again, for McCaskill's sake. I'm sure it's a nice big payday and they could hype it up even more, and Brakus could probably walk off into the sunset if she's able to redeem herself.
She showed a lot of class. John Signorella, Johnny Sig, shot me a schedule like several years ago, and it popped up again on Facebook, and it's the September 2012 schedule. Get this. September 1st in HBO, Golovkin versus Prozka. and Sergi versus Jonathan Gonzalez. September 8th on HBO, Andre Ward versus Chad Dawson, DeMarco versus John Molina, and Vitaly Klitschko. Bottom also this night on Showtime, Randall Bailey versus Devin Alexander. September 15th, HBO, the aforementioned Sergio Martinez versus Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. And that night on Showtime, Saul Alvarez, Canelo Alvarez taking on Josephito Lopez, a journeyman. September 21st, Showtime, Jonathan Romero versus Efren Esquivel. Also on that night on NBC, Gabriel Cambito versus Sergio Kovalev. Oh, I gotta finish this. Gabriel Rosado versus Charles Whitaker. September 29th, HBO, Edwin Rodriguez versus Jason Escalera. Also that night on EPIX, Alexander Pofigin versus Hasim Rahman. To all the haters of the sport, boxing was alive and well in 2012, wasn't it?
It's, you know what? Like you said, the haters can say what they want, but boxing is one of the few sports that recycles superstars, you know, that is able to create superstars and not just within their lane. Boxing, when a boxer is huge, he's a crossover global star. You know, Canelo Alvarez right now is the face of boxing and he's on that short list of Lionel Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo. He's right there. Mm-hmm. Global iconic figures. And of course, Manny Pacquiao and Mayweather. Boxing has never been dead. Sometimes it goes into a coma, you know, and because they try to equate the heavyweight division with how the sport of boxing goes, is followed or whatever, but it's never been dead.
No, but with HBO walking away, it sort of took away an arm. The loss of HBO, and I tell Larry Merchant this once in a while, and he tells me, stop snibbling. Okay? That's what he tells me, stop snibbling. I miss HBO. And not because I miss him, I miss the fights.
HBO boxing, you had a sense it was a special night. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And how can you not, you know, put the two and two together? They had the biggest stars in the world. You had Mike Tyson, Chavez, anyone who's wanted to fight on HBO. And it's no knock on Showtime, but it's just a panache about HBO, the production, Larry Merchant, of course, who, by the way, going back to that Vargas De La Hoya fight, echoed one of the great lines, you can't put a six pack on a chin. I will always remember that. I will always remember that. You know, HBO was boxing, you know, and, I don't want to get off the air without saying, a belated happy birthday to Don King.
Yeah, 89 years old. I called him and left him a message. Godfather not returning phone calls these days. I wish him well. Some people tell me his health is okay. Other people tell me his health is not so okay. Now, this WBO light heavyweight title fight is eliminated between Alvarez and Smith. That's the headliner. But the co-feature is going to be Rob Brandt, the former WBA middleweight title holder, versus Vitaly somebody. But the bottom line is, Rob Brandt, is he the biggest choke, an American choke we've seen in the last few years? I mean, he went over to Japan. He just pussed out in my mind. I watched that fight, man. He's like, he didn't bring it.
I remember you were high on him. And yeah, I mean, some guys have an off night. Some guys can't get over that hump, you know. Like you said, they are human beings, all athletes. You know, you hate to use the word choke. But, you know, sometimes guys don't get it done when they need to, you know, and nerves or whatever it may be. But Rob Brandt physically is somebody, you look at him, he's got the skill set to be a bigger deal in the middleweight division than what he is. Maybe he bounces back. He's fighting when, tonight?
Yeah, he's taking on Vitaly somebody on the Alvarez-Joe Smith undercard. Of course, they're rocking and rolling on ESPN and there's all kinds of boxing. Of course, Fox has got boxing, Sean Porter and Sebastian Formiglia. I think Sebastian's an opponent here. Is he a mark?
Seems that way. Absolutely. It seems that way. He seems like the guy, you know, a stay busy guy. And, you know, I understand that, you know, these promoters, if they're not getting any ticket money, they don't want to put them in, they don't want to put their fighters against killers. You know, I get that. And I'm sure from the manager side, Sean Porter, figured, let me take the safe fight and at least I'm active and on TV at least.
Can't believe he's not fighting you, me, or Cuddy. Anyway, real quick, August 26th, ESPN Plus, Tim Zhu, Kasha's son, taking on Jeff Horn. The younger guy, the bigger guy is going to win this one. Zhu? Question mark?
I'll be pulling for him. I mean, he comes from great lineage. The little bit that I've seen on him, he's got some skill.
The great Socrates Palmer, folks. I cut him off, but the great Socrates Palmer on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network features Saturdays live on Ring Talk Worldwide.
Peace.
Decision now. Let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right. The World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
I think that the Affordable Care Act, you know, as long as it wasn't a name, the Obamacare, it would pass. They made the test already. But the fact of the matter is, at the essence of it all, is people need health care.
Happy birthday, Don King, turned 89 this week. Rocking and rolling, man. He hasn't picked up the phone in the past few months, and that worries me when I talk about somebody is 89 years old. I mean, usually he's ready to gift, and he's got the gift of gab going no matter what condition he's in. I mean, bottom line is you give Don King a phone and look out, baby. He's talking for hours, but he hasn't been picking up the phone lately, and I'm a little concerned about that. Of course, 89 years old, wish him the happiest of birthdays, no doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to world of boxing and MMA. Last week, of course, UFC doing their thing in Vegas and their little bubble they got down there. Of course, the UFC Apex Center, call it what you want. Stipe Miocic, the world heavyweight champion, defended that title with a unanimous nod over a former champion, Daniel Cormier. Of course, Cormier at one time the UFC light heavyweight champion, 205 pounds. This is the heavyweight title, which is over 205 pounds, and the maximum weight is 265 pounds. But Miocic, looking lean for this fight, came in and didn't fight the greatest fight in the world, but he won going away as far as rounds were concerned. 4-1, 4-1, and 3-2 as far as the scorecards were concerned, over five rounds. Bottom line is, Miocic's still the champion. Of course, he will take on Francis Ngannou, who he beat before, but I wouldn't think that he could beat him again. I would think that Francis Ngannou handled Stipe Miocic quite easily this time, and Miocic's going to get lit up like a White House Christmas tree. In the co-feature, undefeated Sean O'Malley, of course, lost a quite controversial TKO. What happened? He checked a kick, and I think it sort of messed his leg up. It wasn't a fracture, but man, he looked like whoa, I got no leg, and it just sort of went down. And Marlon Vera, of course, a journeyman. People called him a journeyman fighter. Not really a journeyman fighter, but he opened that can of ass whooping and sprayed it all over Sean O'Malley. And Sean O'Malley, 19-0, I think, or either I think it was 19-0 with 19 wins. No, 12-0. Anyway, bottom line is he ain't undefeated no more. Of course, they ended 4-40 into the very first round. And, of course, I was wrong, dead wrong, about Jazzareno Rozenstruik, because he lit up Junior Dos Santos big time, knocking him out 3:47 into round number two. Dos Santos, the Brazilian, the former two-time UFC heavyweight champion. I was wrong. Junior Dos Santos got destroyed. I mean, this guy Jazzareno can really punch. He's big, he's mean, and he may be a formidable foe for the future of the heavyweight division in the UFC. And, of course, the future is Francis Ngannou. And a couple other fights on the card, I don't know. I wasn't all that impressed with the rest of the card. So, at the end of the day, the UFC doing their thing. And that was a pay-per-view card, of course. Not big on their pay-per-views because all they do is make money. I told you before, out of a dollar, fighters only get between 8 and 12 cents. Dana's one, like a couple of weeks ago, sort of admit that they might be getting as much as 18 cents a dollar, but that's still not a lot when you talk about the fact that a whole dollar of a $4.2 billion entity, out of a whole dollar, only 8 to 12 cents is going to the fighters per se. Of course, the guys putting it on the line, the men and the women putting it on the line. Tonight, the main event, of course, ESPN Plus and ESPN talk about Frankie Edgar, the former lightweight champion, dropping down in weight, not one division, two divisions, to bantamweight. Good luck with that one, baby. He made 135 pounds. I don't know how these guys do it. It's like crazy. I mean, the guy used to fight at 155. He's a short, squat dude. I understand that. He's got not a big frame on him, okay? So but man, make coming down from fighting the world-class guys at 155 to fighting guys at 135. You know, if he's still got some zip in him, he could be a formidable foe at 135, but I tend to think maybe not. Anyway, bottom line, he's taking on Pedro Munhoz, and this is a 135-pound main event from ESPN tonight. I think that's coming. Yeah, it is coming to you from Las Vegas. And the co-feature, Ovin St. Preux, former light heavyweight title challenger to John Jones, takes on Alonzo Menifield. And Todd Duffy takes on Gian Vellante. Bottom line, there's not too many names on this card. Of course, that's ESPN Plus and ESPN rocking tonight. The UFC live from the UFC Apex Center, of course, is August 22nd, 2020. On ESPN and ESPN Plus. As far as the rest of the year is concerned, ho-hum. I'm not all that impressed with the rest of the year as far as the ESPN, the UFC schedule is concerned. I mean, when you look at it, outside of Khabib coming up, and Khabib supposedly Khabib versus anybody is not really a fight. Until he steps up and takes on the likes of like Scott Cuddy or somebody like that, there's no challenge for Khabib. I mean, he is just unbeatable. I told you in the ring, he's unbeatable. His record is 24-0, 30-0, 90-0, whatever it is. There's just disputed numbers, but nobody's put anything but an O next to it, okay? He's never lost a round in the gym. Ooh, never lost a round in the gym. And when you've never lost another round in the gym, the bottom line is, man, things happen. Anyway, at the end of the night last week, Stipe Miocic showed all the class that it has in being the world heavyweight champion.
The winner and still, Stipe Miocic, the greatest UFC, there you go, the greatest UFC heavyweight champion of all time, without a doubt now. How does it feel?
Tired.
Tired?
Yeah, I'm going to go home.
I can totally understand that. Was there anything about this fight that was surprising to you?
No, I mean... Honestly, he's a hell of a fighter, honestly. I wish him nothing but the best. God bless him. You know, he's having a baby in October. God bless him with that. You know, hope it's a healthy baby and lives a long, happy life. You know, and he's an amazing champion, amazing ambassador. Love the guy. I have no ill will towards him. I know we had a thing for the trilogy, but I think that's what makes it better. No, he's a tough dude. You know, I knew he was going to kick more, try to check those more. I knew, I think he knew. He had that first takedown, but I got right back up, so I wasn't really too worried. I think he knew that he was in for trouble if he's trying to take me down again.
What was the game plan going in here, Stipe? Was there a plan A, plan B, and plan C? Did you have to vary your approach in any way?
Yeah, I was on plan like 8.70-5. I was like, so many of those right now. I had no idea at one point what I was doing.
Well, that is one of the things about these crazy heavyweight fights. Now, winning this fight, winning the rubber match, cementing your position, not just as the UFC heavyweight champion, but as the greatest of all time, where do you go from here? Do you have to go back and think about this and rest and relax with your family, or do you have a game plan in your head?
My game plan. I swear, sorry. Wake up early tomorrow, get in a plan at 7 o'clock, go see my baby girl. I miss her all week. Celebrate my birthday on, what's today, 50? I think Wednesday, the 19th, and just enjoy life for now. Heal up, and then we'll figure it out from there, man. I got the rest of the summer to hang out and enjoy the pool, and I got my new Traeger grill, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Stipe Miocic, still the world heavyweight champion, but the greatest heavyweight of all time. I mean, that shows you how weak and shallow the UFC pool is as far as legacies in heavyweight and the heavyweight divisions concerned. Think about that. The greatest heavyweight of all time, because he had three successful defenses, lost, and then came back and won the title again, and then beat up a light heavyweight, a guy that was smaller than him, a fat guy in Daniel Cormier. All due respect to Cormier, okay, but he's a fat guy. He just is a fat guy. And anybody that ever fought Cormier that stood up and tried to wrestle with him, it was a mistake. It just was. It was a stone cold mistake. You box him, boxing 101 beats Daniel Cormier every day of the week. I've watched him in the gym down there in the American Kickboxing Academy down there in Silicon Valley. I've watched him train. I've always said boxing and body shots, boxing A, B, and C will beat Daniel Cormier. Of course, the second time, Miocic ended up stopping him with body shots, throwing shots to the body. He should have threw more shots to the body this time. He would have got the chubby guy out of there. But I think it was a respectful type of thing for Stipe Miocic with Daniel Cormier the other night. In other words, showing him a little bit too much respect. Why? I don't know, but maybe because he got knocked out once. I don't know, you know, but the bottom line is too much respect. Miocic should have took Cormier out, in my opinion. August 22nd, we talked about these fights. Of course, these are the fights on television tonight. August 22nd, on DAZN, Dillian White and Alexander Povetkin, Battle of the Juicers. Of course, the aforementioned Socrates Palmer brought this up. And, of course, it's for the WBC interim heavyweight title. I thought the WBC title was held by Tyson Fury, and of course he took that from Deontay Wilder, and of course Deontay Wilder had that for three or four years, so I don't know how this ends up being the interim heavyweight title, unless the world of Bunko and Chicanery, the WBC, needs some additional sanctioning fees, so they're going to throw Dillian White and Alexander Povetkin in a so-called title fight. And of course, that's coming to you live on DAZN. Also today, of course, Sean Porter looking pretty ripped, and Socrates talked about, he says he's always ripped. No, I've never been as ripped as he is for this fight. And I think it's because of the fact that he's had a lot of time to train. I mean, listen, if you've either got yourself in tremendous physical condition in this pandemic, in this weird season that we've had since February, March, or you haven't. It's either one or the other. Either you've gotten fat laying on the couch. I'm talking about John Q. Citizen. Either you've got fat laying on the couch, or you've gotten up and you've done something. It's one or the other. Okay, and fighters like Sean Porter, looks like Sean Porter spent some time training, more power to him. But Sebastian Formiglia looks like a mark, folks. And when I was talking about a mark earlier, that means a guy is probably going to get drilled and came to lose. Eladiter Alvarez, of course, the Colombian, former WBL light heavyweight title holder, of course, taking on Joe Smith. And Alvarez was the rage for one fight. And then he comes back and he doesn't show up for the second fight. Talk about those two fights with Koliev. I don't know what's going on there. Bottom line is Alvarez hot and cold. I saw him in a WBO convention a couple years ago, of course. That was with, who was the other guy? I can't remember the other guy, but two guys showed up at that convention. Two champs showed up and both guys ended up losing. Yeah, bad luck. Don't go to Panama. Speaking of Panama, Roberto Duran talking this week about the great Ismael Laguna. Of course, Ismael Laguna was a lightweight champion who lost to Ken Buchanan. Of course, and Ken Buchanan was beaten in 1972 by Roberto Duran. Now, Ken Buchanan is still screaming. In fact, the people on the internet keep hollering at me, saying to me, you know, it was a low blow that ended the fight. Yeah. Okay, it may have been a low blow that ended the fight. And Tony LaBianco, of course, the referee, said, I'm tired of this fight. The fight's over with. Yeah, I understood the referee being tired of it because it was like Duran just kicking his ass. I mean, his time, it was like a one-sided route. I mean, did Buchanan win a minute there? Did he win a minute? I mean, come on, did he win a minute? I don't think he did. He didn't win a round. At the end of the day, it was a TKO, I think, in 11 for Roberto Duran capturing the World Lightweight Championship. Speaking of lightweight champions, today, of course, is a day in boxing history because the great Grandmaster Bill O'Neill, William O'Neill, of course, today's his birthday. We want to wish him a happy 39th birthday, no doubt about that. And, of course, Marlon Starling KO'd Mark Breland on August 22nd, 1987, in 11 rounds. So when they fought in a rematch, I went out and bet some money on Marlon Starling, right? And they called it a draw. They called it a draw. It was a ripoff. I was going crazy. I went nuts. Couldn't believe it. So I went back to my room. I was sharing a room with Jack Fisk, the Hall of Fame boxing writer, of course, the greatest boxing writer of all time, without a doubt. And he found out that I bet on the fight, and he said to me, You should never bet on a fight. I said, why is that? He says, you can't remain objective on it, Pete. You just can't. I mean, you had money on the fight, so any round that was close, you might have went another way than you might have had you not had money on it. In other words, money ruins everything. And he's right. If you've got an investment in the fight, you tend to look at fights just a little bit differently. Speaking of investments, Mike Tyson and Roy Jones, worth $100? Worth $100? They're talking about that $88 for a pay-per-view charge on that one. And if you want to go high def, I guess it's a little bit more, but $100 to watch Mike Tyson and Roy Jones and battle in an exhibition. And I told you about exhibitions. I mean, I've been involved in exhibitions where it's been like a war. I mean, like, holy cow, man. I mean, guys are just going for each other's throat in the whole 9 yards. And the other times I've been involved in exhibitions where guys are just touching each other, barely touching each other, and, like, playing around in this thing. So what's this going to be? $88.99 or $90 or $100, whatever the charge is. Is Mike Tyson going to be able to deliver at 52 years old against Roy Jones, who's had a bad chin to begin with? If you ever wanted to pick a guy to come back against and you were a puncher, it had to be Roy Jones. Outside of me, and I mean, come on, I think my chin might be better than Roy's. Roy's got a terrible chin. Of course, that chin goes back to 1988. Why do I say that? Remember I told you Sugar Ray Leonard was going to sign him at the Olympic trials in Concord, California, but then Ray had $100,000 in a suitcase and he said, I'm not going to do it. I said, why? Because I think he's got a glass jaw. Well, Ray could have made a lot of money before that glass jaw was exposed, but eventually it was. Roy Jones, of course, getting knocked out not once, not twice, but many times. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide. Check it. Your inside look in the world of boxing and MMA coming to you from the Sports Byline Studios.
Everyone says, I wish I was in your shoe, I wish I was in your shoe. The people, the hundreds of people that wish they were in my shoe, don't know the tenth of it. If they were in my shoe, they would cry like babies.
That's just a sobering thought.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
That is just a fact of life.
Somebody said to me here, when Larry Merchant left HBO, a lot of the listeners went with him, or the viewers went with him. I don't know about that. Listen, the bottom line was HBO was sort of worried about, they thought Larry was going to lose his cool, much like Ferdy Pacheco fell apart on the air. They didn't want that happening. Max Kellerman was waiting in the wings. Of course, I call him Max Kellerboy. He came along, of course. Max Kellerman couldn't fill Larry's shoes, and even though he's got bigger feet. Bottom line is, Max is okay, but Larry was the greatest. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. August 21st, 1981, I was there. I skipped the ASF Police Academy, called in sick the day before, Friday the 20th. I went to Las Vegas to watch Salvador Sanchez take on Wilfredo Gomez in a battle for the WBC 126-pound title. Gomez weighed in at 130 pounds that morning. He went to bed at 125 and a half. How he gained 5.5 pounds, 5 pounds overnight. Well, we know how he did. He was drinking water. Bottom line is, he got lit up bad, had his cheekbone broken in the first round. He was a 2-1 favorite, and he ended up losing, I think, in the eighth round. Of course, all that history comes to us from the boxing historian, our grandmaster, Billo, of course, rocking and rolling on Facebook. The WBO is ordering Navarrete to talk about the former 122-pound champion, Rolando Navarrete Martinez, Emmanuel Navarrete Martinez, to take on a young man by the name of Jesse Magdaleno. Magdaleno, of course, is going to rock and roll. Take that back. He's going to take on Ruben Villa, as it looks like Magdaleno's pulled out. Didn't want to do the money. Magdaleno, Villa's got a record of 18-5 with KOs. Not a big puncher, ranked number 3 by the WBO. Of course, as my future stars, as far as world boxing is concerned, no doubt about that, Emmanuel Navarrete Martinez from Mexico City. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. This is a Saturday edition produced always by Scott Cuddy. I want to thank you for that. And I want to thank you, because there's a million things you can be doing right now. But the fact you're listening to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline, well, my name is Pedro Fernandez, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Don't forget, Ring Talk Live Worldwide, Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, live on many of these same stations. And, of course, always on anchor.com, the podcast. This is Ring Talk.